In today's gospel, Jesus offers us a few everyday images that reveal to us the kingdom of God. A tree that becomes a sheltering home, yeast that penetrates and expands, a treasured pearl, a net that gains a great catch. Seems that Jesus has decided that he should expand his playbook from agrarian symbolism to include that of the baker, of the merchant, and of the fisherman. In these parables, Jesus appears to be taking a slightly different approach to the idea of the kingdom, or to be more concise about the longevity of the kingdom, as well as our desired response to it. It would be quite easy, with our ears still ringing with the agrarian parables of the sower and the wheat and the tares, to imagine a world that existed before the kingdom. The parables themselves could be interpreted in a way to illustrate the fact that the world came into being and then the kingdom of God was added, sprinkled later as almost an afterthought. But after hearing the parable of the leaven, I feel that we have little choice but to acknowledge, as the good Reverend Robert Capon illustrates for us, that for every second of time that dough is dough, the leaven is inseparable from it. Therefore, for every second of time that the world has been a world, it has also been the kingdom. Its progress through history is not a transition from kingdom or non-kingdom to kingdom. Rather, it is a progress from kingdom in a mystery to kingdom made manifest. The kingdom has been around since the very beginning of time. The kingdom is like Jesus. It's pre-existent. As the Gospel of John reminds us, Jesus was with the Father before the world was. And where Jesus is, the kingdom is also. But Father Capon reminds us that this kingdom is hidden. Hidden just like leaven in three measures of flour. This image of the three measures of flour should jog your memory, for it is an unmistakable reference to Genesis 18. I think you remember the story. Abraham is sitting at the entrance of his tent beneath the oaks of Mamre when three visitors arrive who will announce that Sarah, Abraham's wife, will give birth to their firstborn son, Isaac. Abraham asks Sarah to go make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes. Now, three measures of flour is about 50 pounds of flour, or 10 5-pound bags, to be precise. When you add water to the leaven, you have nearly 100 pounds of dough, or about 60 dozen cakes. This is most certainly an extreme abundance in relation to three guests. Not only is the notion of abundance an important takeaway from this passage, but also the concept of hiddenness. For it is hidden to Sarah that God has come to bless her with pregnancy, and this pregnancy that is hidden will reveal itself in 9 months with the return of God. In the 8th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, Jesus insists that nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed, nor is anything secret that will not become known and come to light. Just as the leaven is hidden, which is a better translation than mixed, it is encrypted, as the word encrypto is in Scripture. The leaven is encrypted into the dough, The result of this action will eventually come to light. The bread will rise as the gases produced by the yeast will be entrapped within the cells of the dough, resulting in the lightening of that lump into a loaf. And the same is true of the kingdom. Now, prior to the beginning of Jesus' ministry, his cousin John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and he called upon the people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, after having heard that John had been imprisoned, he in turn began to preach as well. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Both John and Jesus were proclaiming to the people that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, was very near. So near that you could smell it. But it was hidden. Hidden from their very eyes until Jesus began to reveal it to them. For it is Jesus who makes the kingdom visible. And Jesus does this throughout his ministry. He feeds thousands in recollection of how the prophets Elijah and Elisha provided food in both an anticipation of and a present enactment of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus dines with sinners and tax collectors. He socializes with the unclean and the profane. In his acts of compassion, kindness, and abundance, Jesus reveals the kingdom. It is as the yeast that lifts the entire loaf. Jesus makes that which is hidden glaringly evident. And my brothers and sisters, the same is to be true of us. Jesus in Matthew's gospel declares to his disciples in that famous Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city built on the hill cannot be hid. For in baptism, as St. Paul tells the Colossians, we have died and our lives are hidden with Christ in God, but that they will be revealed when Jesus is made manifest, when Jesus returns. For God is at work in the world, and the world in turn cannot keep the kingdom hidden. God's works, blatant or otherwise, simply cannot remain hidden." Amy Jill Levine, a New Testament and Jewish scholar, puts it this way: "What is hidden is only hidden so that it can be brought forth. And in Revelation, the original is somehow transformed. The disciples gain new insight, the faithful, a new way of being, the world, more good works than it had ever known before." Is this not the desired result or response to baptism? Is this not the desired response to the gift of grace that we named, claimed, and sent through the water and the word are transformed? How are we not? When one dies to the old self and is reborn day in and day out, how is that not transformative? Is it because baptism, like the leaven or the yeast, doesn't look like much by itself? From a physical perspective, Ignatius doesn't look any different, or an adult baptized. They don't suddenly glow. We don't suddenly see or hear shackles falling from their wrists and from their ankles. But they are most certainly changed. Changed for a new way of being. Changed to be co-workers in the kingdom. Changed into the body of Christ, the very hands and feet of Jesus, in this place, in this time, for the sake of the world. The reality of baptism, the reality expounded in the parable of the leaven, is one that speaks of the transformation of our lives in light of the kingdom. The enormous yield as a result of 40 to 60 pounds of flour in both the parable and in Genesis 18 should leave us convinced that our response in light of the kingdom is to be one of abundance and one of generosity. For the earth is the Lord's, and everything good comes from God, a God who is without limits. Scarcity, my brothers and sisters, has been defeated, and abundance reigns in the kingdom of God, now and for always. And in this abundance, there's not just enough, but more than enough. We can share, we can give, we can love without fear that there will be too little to go around. In this fullness, we can do more than just give. And we heard in the parable of the wheat and tares that we can love even to the excess of forgiveness. For we, my friends, are like the dough, but transformed not by yeast, but by the water and word, transformed for and by the kingdom, to become signs of the reign of God, partners, co-creators in this world that God has made. To do things that might seem foolish or wasteful to those who do not have eyes for the kingdom or ears to hear. When we have been transformed by the grace of God and through the waters of baptism, I ask you, how else could we possibly live? Amen.